views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. To Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. It is a Friday, October the 13th, 2017. I hope it ain't no superstitious folks out there. It's October. People celebrating Halloween, and we know from the 80s, those who grew up in the 80s, the Friday the 13th movies were pretty popular, so I hope y'all don't believe in any kind of superstitious stuff, but to each his own. Today, we do have a lot of important news. Not to say that the news that we share any other time is not important, but we do have some news to share with you today. Some news also that I want to start off with that is pertaining to an action plan. Right now, people are talking about boycotting the NFL for different reasons. And I'm all down with boycotts and what have you, not particularly, just the NFL. But one of the things that I was pondering this morning as I was reading news about Wells Fargo, one of the oldest banks in the United States that has and continues to be involved in 21st century slavery and financing it and making profit from it. But Wells Fargo was in the news this morning because they've been hit with a, if I'm not mistaken, almost $2 billion fine related to some activities, some fraudulent activities, some suspect activities preceding the housing bubble. In other words, they helped create it. Again, a lot of radio and news outlets have blamed poor black people getting loans on houses that they couldn't afford or didn't understand the different types of predatory loans out there. And it was sold to them as something they could afford, but everything wasn't explained to them. Things like balloon payments and what have you. And they were blamed for it. But as I reported, maybe in September, reported that a study came out that showed no, that was those housing flippers. And house flipping has been made popular on these cable television shows and what have you, and they are the ones who were behind that housing crisis. And banks like Wells Fargo was giving these people multiple loans. Now, what about boycotting Wells Fargo and any of the other banks that are participating in the financing of 21st century slavery and human trafficking? So that is a story we'll get into some of the details about. Before I do that, just want to apologize for not being on air yesterday. I did put out a notice on BTR community as well as those who follow my page on Facebook that I would not be on air. I forgot about a veteran's doctor's appointment that I had at the VA hospital in Charlotte and happened to look at the calendar. And so I was like, oh man, I got that appointment, so I'm not going to be able to do the show. So that's why we canceled yesterday. But I will continue taking a look at this propaganda. And it's more than propaganda, but it also can be deemed as propaganda, because certainly people are using it for propaganda purposes to say that even the FBI considers black people who identify with Africa or identify themselves as Moors or any kind of black identity separate from an American identity, they're terrorists. And here is the FBI backing us up. And, you know, again, we've been going over the history of COINTELPRO this week and how it relates. And this is just a continuation of COINTELPRO in suppressing black and indigenous communities, which they have always done. And when I say they, I'm talking about those who are in power, positions of power in the United States government, as well as state governments, county governments, all government in the United States. And so we'll be taking a look at that report again, trying to see where did we leave off, because some of this we don't need to regurgitate over the airwaves, just some of the key points, which we've hit a lot of those already. We'll start today. I'm looking at page 8. This is again a 12 page report. Maybe we'll start on, page 6. I think we went over this. Yeah, we went over page 6. So we'll start on page 7, take a look at page 7 and 8. And obviously that means we're going to have to continue the segment on this into next week, Monday, when BTR News is back on air live. Nothing happened, if nothing happens. So we'll be doing that second hour, taking a look at this BIE report and breaking it down, not just glossing over it, but breaking it down, disputing the methodology and all the other things that's wrong with this report. But the number one thing is they've done nothing to clear law enforcement of the white supremacist infiltrators, as the FBI said in 2006. Then subsequent internal actions that we again discussed earlier this week. And knowing that you got racist white terrorists, domestic terrorists, who are in police departments at every level. And by them issuing this report is just confirmation that they have infiltrated the FBI. And I would say, when has white supremacy not been a part of any institution? When they say infiltrated, that sounds like they weren't there before. Let's just deal with the real, as Tanya Free would say. Let's deal with the real. But, you know, they called them ghost skins. Whoever produced that report in 2006, they don't wear tattoos. Although one of those Dallas police officers, since they discussed Michael Johnson, who wanted to be known as Michael X, so we'll respect that. But that Michael X killed, one of them Dallas cops, had white supremacist tattoos. Now, that was mainstream reporting, local reporting. Y'all can Google it. I remember pushing the story and saying this just confirms what the guy said is true about white supremacists. And again, I will remind you that report that came out in 2006. So again, this is just confirmation that you've always had white supremacists at every level of law enforcement. That includes the FBI. All right. So, let me give out the phone numbers. Let me start the show properly. Let me give out the telephone numbers. If you have a question or a comment, you can also chime in our Uber conference chat room. But the telephone number is 866-510-9025. That's 866-510-9025. The other number, if you have problems using that number, is 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056. 1-800-516-5356. The chat room is at uberconference.com/Black Talk Radio Network. So we don't mind hearing from our listeners and sharing their perspectives. So a couple of quick stories, though. Let's go through these quick stories. I'm going to say most of the time for this Wells Fargo report and giving you something that you can act on. And we should really, those who are part of the abolitionist campaign, really push for divestment. The college students have already taken action. They need, of course, I'm not saying there's not more action that they can take on getting universities to divest from companies that are profiting from private prisons, divesting their pensions of this private prison stock, public stock, you know, jail bonds and what have you at the local level. That, you know, they pass, the voters pass a vote on a bond package that's going to allow them to borrow however many millions of dollars they want to borrow to build a new plantation. All of the public and private, that is the biggest thing change that we have seen in the United States in terms of its practice of slavery. Whereas pre-1865, it was mostly private with a wink and a nod from the government. The government was still profiting by the taxes that they collected, generated by profits made from the victims of slavery. So it's always been, when they say private, no, it was always public regulation of that as well. All right, so, but we'll get into that story. Now, this first story, y'all saw that tweet that Sean Puffy Combs put out there on Twitter talking about buying the NFL. Because, again, people talking about boycotting the NFL. Church groups, black church groups, clergy, they put out a little promo. Donald Trump's telling people, people on both sides of the issue calling for a boycott. How does that work? Who claims credit for any drop in viewership? Huh? Who claims credit for that, since both sides, elements of both sides of this fraudulent issue of whether or not it's disrespecting a flag when the players are taking a knee for the fallen Americans at the hands of slave catchers? I mean, who's going to claim credit when you got different groups calling for a boycott of the NFL? So Sean Puffy Combs playing games on the internet, I don't know, being emotional, trying to attach his name to something, I don't know what's in his mind, but he sent out a simple tweet that said, let's buy the NFL. You can't buy the NFL because they ain't selling. You can't buy something somebody ain't put up for sale. And collectively, you have to understand that the NFL has an organization that is, I believe they still had a nonprofit sporting designation. I'm not sure about that. I've seen conflicting information. Not something I even want to look up right now. But these individual franchises are owned by businessmen, all billionaires, except for a couple of them where you have several owners, or like Green Bay, where you can buy stock in the Green Bay Packers. And so that's a public company, publicly held company. So he just got a rise out of a whole lot of people about buying, let's put our little pennies together and we're going to buy the NFL. I mean, this tweet went viral, and it's just playing games. It's not being serious. I don't know why I have to keep, Mr. Cambon, Dr. Cambon's statement keeps coming to my mind this week, because I've said it before this week, that black people are very serious about not being very serious. We're not going to apply that to all black people, but some are very serious about not being very serious. And Sean Combs is one of those. But this is a very important story to me, because I know the power of media, and this is making some, as they call, boss moves right here. But in the wake of the Harvey Weinstein sexual assault, rape, harassment, fallout I mean, they still, actresses are still coming forward. And hey, this was no open, this was no secret that this type of behavior went on in Hollywood. And I will also say this, you know, if you were sexually assaulted by a producer or he propositioned you and said, you'll get this role if you let me do whatever. I'm not going to get into some of the sick details of Harvey Weinstein's sexual fantasies and practices and what have you. And you did that and you went on ahead and you took the easy route and you go ahead and let them have their perverse way with you. That's like prostitution in a way. But I'm not going to judge you. That's your right, but you are also part of the problem. And I'm sure it's a whole lot of people, male and female, okay? Because a lot of that LGBT sexuality in Hollywood as well. A lot of males and female actors have probably done the same, have done that. We know they have. We know they have. And Harvey Weinstein, we know, or Weinstein, how you pronounce his name, is not the only one. Not the only one. But here is the boss move being made. Jay-Z is talking with his team. I guess he got an investment group or a group of advisors, but he's talking with his team about buying Harvey Weinstein's interest in the Weinstein company. Again, this is a company that has put out a whole lot of films that have garnered a whole lot of awards, and TMZ is reporting that Jay-Z is putting together. He's talking to several other investors, including a famous movie producer that could be Spike Lee, a billionaire that could be Oprah, that could be Robert Johnson. We got a few black billionaires. So let's not act like it's a bunch of them. That could also be, what's his name? Dr. Dre. So we don't know. Okay. And then we don't know if they're black either. So, but Jay-Z we know is black. We know Jay-Z with the Weinstein Company put out the Khalif Browder film. Again, media is very important because, like Malcolm X said, it controls the minds of the masses. It creates perceptions which become realities, where those perceptions are based on the real or if they're based on the false. It's still going to be that individual's reality depending upon how that media influences them. So I call this a boss move, though, to go after purchasing 23% of the company. That's a boss move. Because as they say, we don't control the distribution. We don't control Hollywood. We don't own most of the theaters. We don't have that kind of power. Harvey Weinstein and those in his class had that kind of power. So Jay-Z, while he has not been the most conscious person through his life, but who has shown a bit of consciousness since, I would say, going back to his participation, him and his wife Beyonce's participation in bailing out Ferguson activists and protesters, bailing them out of jail, bailed out of, you know, spent a few million on that. Again, I mentioned the Khalif Browder film. So if we can get Jay-Z and his group to get control of that and have a 23% stake in the company, perhaps we can start seeing better media being produced. Better media leads to better communities. I sincerely believe that. You can build better communities by the media that you produce that's going to be influencing them, and whether we want to admit to it or not, it's going to be controlling minds to a certain extent. That could either be, we're talking about passive control, obviously. It's just influence. That's all it is. So I think that's big news, and that's a boss move on the behalf of Jay-Z. Now, I hope that it doesn't turn out that if they are successful, that we're just going to see more of the same in terms of the usual garbage, the historically inaccurate white supremacist films that have come out of the Harvey Weinstein company. Again, they put out a few good films here and there, but the very bulk of their work or production has been in support of white supremacy passively. Everything don't have to be overt all the time, but passively. So that's, I haven't talked about that Harvey Weinstein story, but it's still shaking out. And so, but disgusting. So we'll see if there's any charges like was brought against Bill Cosby. And I'm not saying that to defend Bill Cosby. I mean, I believe these actresses, just like I believe, because I have spoken to, personally interviewed, coordinated with for a march for Ayanna Jones with one of Cosby's victims. And I know this woman ain't lying. So I don't turn these sort of things into black and white. If there's black versus white elements in it, racism, of course, got to point that out. But let's see if Weinstein gets equal treatment under the law. Okay. Let's see if he gets the same kind of treatment that Bill Cosby got. And I understand there's several different jurisdictions, because this happened, some of the allegations, the crimes occurred in New York City, L.A., probably worldwide, wherever they have film festivals or whatnot. I heard he'd been banned by a European festival or some kind of movie club or something for filmmakers. He's been banned from that. But let's see if any criminal charges, which there should be. I think there's evidence, you know, like they say in the Cosby case. In some of those cases, you know, there is no statute of limitation, or the statute of limitation hasn't run out. But as Cosby has been accused of, Weinstein been accused of paying off people for forever. And again, I'm going to be critical of those sort of victims. They're victims, yes, they're victims. But you took a payoff and you kept quiet. And you are complicit in all the future victims because you didn't come forward and tell nobody. We've said this about families who take payoffs from the cities, as I came across a story today out of Louisiana where a dude was shot in the back of the head. It grazed his skull, still put him in critical condition. He survived, and he sued. And he settled for $120,000 or something to settle it. The 2014 case where a cop shot at him for wasn't justified. But the cop was not charged or anything. So I saw that story today. And then let me pull that story up. Matter of fact, I saw that story today, but that takes us to another story out of Louisiana. A sheriff is furious at new laws that are allowing for the release of good, quote unquote, good nonviolent inmates because we use them to wash cars. This again is nothing new. A lot of y'all is on the Kamala Harris bandwagon because she went to Howard and because she got black skin or brown skin, and her father is I think he's from one of those Caribbean islands. He might have been Jamaican, and her mother is from India. I don't know what caste system. I don't think she was part of the lower rung of the caste system that is practiced in India, which is another form of proxy racism. It's really disgusting. But y'all all on her bandwagon, and she argued, or her office argued, she didn't personally argue it, but she knew it was going to be argued, that the defense strategy to letting people go from prison for nonviolent victimless drug crimes or any other victimless nonviolent crime. And she said, well, what we do, we need these firefighters that are also prison slaves. You know, you see California suffering from a very devastating wildfire where it appears to be a big loss of life. One story I saw with 500 people missing. Guess who fight them fires for about $1 a day for slave wages? Prisoners. And Kamala Harris's office as Attorney General of California argued this in court. We cannot let them go. This is the Supreme Court when they said that California's overcrowding was a violation, I think, of the Eighth Amendment, cruel and unusual punishment, and they had to reduce it. And they were like saying that we can't let them go because we need them as slave labor. Look it up. Now we got a sheriff pretty much saying the same thing. So Max Parkus of New Abolitionist Radio called me the other day and told me he had tagged me in this article. And it's on the Root. It was written by Brianna Edwards. It says, Louisiana sheriff furious at new laws allowing for release of good nonviolent inmates because we use them to wash cars. Same argument, different state, different person working for the state. In California, we had a black woman as attorney general making that argument through her office to the Supreme Court. And now we have a sheriff expressing the same concerns. So according to KSLA TV, this Sheriff Prater, let's pull up his name, Sheriff Steve Prater of Caddo Parish, you spell that C-A-D-D-O, Caddo Parish, Louisiana, Sheriff Steve Prater is ranting and raging mad about new criminal justice reform laws that will go into effect next month because it will mean getting rid of cheap labor. But don't take my word for it, hear it from Prater's own mouth. According to KSLA TV, Prater expressed his concerns about the Justice Reinvestment Act scheduled to go into effect next month because it would provide for the early release of thousands of inmates across the state, including 192 felons in Caddo Parish in the first wave, or so he says. Now, let me point this out. Just because it's a felony doesn't mean it was a violent crime. It could mean instead of getting caught with an ounce of weed, they had a pound of weed. So it doesn't mean because a felon, when you call somebody a felon or the way that the media in society has used that word, that's just like calling somebody a thug. That's just like calling somebody a nigger. That's just like any other derogatory name that they have come up with. That's what felon is, a derogatory name. It's being used in that manner. All right. It's more than just the designation that somebody had been in prison. This means that you have a 21st century slave brand on your jacket, in your record. Doesn't mean you murdered anyone. Doesn't mean you raped anyone. Doesn't mean any of those things. It just means that someone was duly, doesn't mean they were justly convicted, but it just simply means somebody was duly convicted of a crime from some statutes that racist white people put on the books. And of course, in this modern era, we've had some non-white legislators go along with some of this stuff. You know, check Bill Clinton's tenure and all the support he had among black Democrats for his welfare reform, for the private cops, whatever the name of that bill was that was written by Biden. So, but let me stay on track with this story. Say, there's ways, again, this is Prater speaking, there's ways and things that we need to be reformed on the criminal justice system, but certainly we don't need to do what we're about to do, said Prater. It is hoped that the act will reduce the state's prison population by 10 to 12% and save some $262 million over the next 10 years. Now, again, let's look at the state of Louisiana. They have a law given CCA, Correction Corporation of America, now known as CoreCivic. They changed their name. And they have a 90% occupancy rate in Louisiana to keep the prisons full. So this, just to let you know the type of people that you're dealing with. So I can see a lot of people making money. They're looking at that $262 million over the next 2 years that they were counting on as income to CCA and as a solid investment and what have you. And so this could harm that. But more than that, if you break down how sheriffs have power in Louisiana, they pretty much control the budgets and what have you, and they can legally set up things so that they can put money in their pockets. So again, slavery depends on having bodies, and he is protesting those bodies. But again, this is what reforming slavery looks like. Instead of abolishing slavery, then you're looking at the world's largest prison population in Louisiana. At times, in past reports, has been said to have as many as 7 times the prison population of China, with 1 billion or more people. Louisiana's number one, and they just trying to reduce that by 10% to 12% to save some $262 million that they paying out to wardens, sheriffs, core civic stockholders. So they're trying to save a little bit. This is actually y'all money. This is why everybody in the state of Louisiana should be an abolitionist. And so it says that Prater would want to say, simply put, the state of Louisiana is risking our safety for bragging rights and to save money. But Prater later would show his whole ass, showing that he really doesn't care about safety or bragging rights. He is concerned, it would seem, about saving money, but only in the form of cheap or free labor. This is this man speaking. Let me go ahead and see if we can play this clip, which Sean King posted on Twitter. See if we can get this going here. Give me just a second.
Place out there. Here we go. State prisons, okay? They are a necessary evil to keep the doors open, that we keep a few or keep some out there. And that's the ones that you can work. That's the ones that can pick up trash, the work release programs. But guess what? Those are the ones that they're releasing. In addition to the bad ones, and I call these bad, in addition to them, they're releasing some good ones that we use every day to wash cars, to change oil in our cars, to cook in the kitchen, to do all that, where we save money. Well, they're going to let them out.
Oh, my goodness. And you have to see this. You have to actually see this. And I'm looking at, and again, all of them are disgusting. I'm looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, plus the sheriff, 8 representatives of the sheriff's department who are standing there with their arms crossed and what have you as the backdrop. And again, this is 21st century slavery and human trafficking. And I'm looking at these possible descendants of enslaved Africans with their slave catcher badges on. And I'm wondering what's going through their mind as this admitted slaver, Sheriff Prater, Steve Prater of Caddo Parish. What's going through their mind as he's saying that they're going to get rid of the ones who changed oil in the cars, they wash the cars, they cook, they clean. Man, they're good slaves. You're going to let them go too. Not just the quote unquote bad ones that got felonies, but the ones that you know, they ain't no danger that I can sell you on to society. But look, we need them. They save us money. We don't have to go to the car wash and pay a private business to detail and wash the car when we could just use these slaves. We don't have to go to a local car business and support local businesses and give them a contract to change the oil. We just use the slaves. Black Talk Radio Network has been broadcasting abolitionist, new abolitionist radio to you, and we've been telling you this. and pointing out these sort of stories. But it's just some people, I don't know what it is. Apathy. They don't believe us when we say slavery was never abolished. I don't know, but we should see more activity. We should see more people taking action on this and calling it what it is. Because you can't reform slavery. You have to abolish it. And this is what reforming slavery looks like, is just letting a few of the prisoners go. The modern day slaves, victims of slavery. Letting a few of them go. They just want to let 10 to 12% go. This is disgusting. This is and it's blatant, and it's in your face. And anybody who doesn't call it slavery, and when all of this evidence exists, either they are not comprehending the full facts in this matter, or they getting paid to call it something else. We're going to take our first station identification break. Let me check the board. We don't have any calls on the board right now, but we're going to take a station identification break and kick some music, and we'll come back and hit some of these other stories. Again, during the second hour, we will get into this BIE report, couple of pages, and we'll continue the rest of the pages next week. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, broadcasting Monday through Fridays. Nothing happened from noon Eastern up until till 2 o'clock p.m. We'll be right back.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses. The views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Scotty Reed in on this broadcast on this Friday afternoon. It is 12:45, quarter till the top of the hour. We got some news to share with you from our Black Talk Radio chat room on Uber Conference. This is concerning Harvey Weinstein. Otis says that Harvey Weinstein's employment contract reportedly said that the movie mogul could treat someone improperly as long as he shelled out money for damages. Harvey Weinstein's contract allowed for sexual harassment is the headline from a story that was posted on the citizenpress.com. If that turns out to be confirmed and true, how ignorant of them. And hey, Jay-Z might can get a 50% or more. Okay, 50% or more of that company and take it over and all their distribution and other assets. Because again, Malcolm X said media controls the minds of the masses. So that it would be pretty negligent on behalf of whoever put that in his contract if it turns out to be true. We mentioned Khalif Browder with Jay-Z being behind that and the Weinstein Company. Behind that film, the Khalif Browder story, Otis shared a SoundCloud clip, says a former prosecutor talks about Khalif Browder and more. It's as if he's listened to the past 5 years of new abolitionist radio, the injustice system from the inside on an aha moment. I have no doubt that many of these people have heard Black Talk Radio Network and new abolitionist radio, because I've seen the data and we've been consistently putting out this information for 5 years. Point to me another podcast, another broadcast that has consistently told the people for 5 years that slavery was never abolished. The 13th Amendment exception clause is your evidence. Otis, you've unmuted yourself. Did you have a question or a comment for us today? Thanks for chiming in.
Hey, man, for power to you, Daddy.
Thank you.
I just want to interject in here that I've constantly been sending broadcasts and stuff to key personnel. That guy you just talked about, the article, that's Paul Butler from a book he put out called The Chokehold. And I specifically gave you that podcast because it's almost assured from the way that he goes to the podcast, they've been listening in. There's no doubt about it. And I'm glad to see the message growing, brother.
Most certainly. Most certainly. Okay. So, you know, we don't have millions of dollars. We don't have the power of a Weinstein company. We're just a little North Carolina nonprofit based here in the United States, but we got a global reach. And people look for Black Talk Radio because Black Radio is an industry term anyway. But for those people that want to say we are extremists because we separate ourselves from other platforms or whatnot, you know, y'all can go to hell with that. But we've made it'll be 9 years in November, we've reached millions of people, you know, through our platform and the other platforms that we publish content to. So I have no doubt that Malcolm X was correct in his assessment. Just think if we had $1 million budget, what we could do in terms of producing more grassroots media in our communities. Did you have anything else, Otis, as I move on to some of these other stories?
I wanted to throw out there real quickly for anybody that's listening. We've got to understand the power of some of these hashtags and how to optimize the use of social media. Because some of the people that I'm talking to you about, like Paul Butler and a few of these talking heads that have high places on mainstream media, for the last 4 years, I've been sending information to them, especially when we cover it on Black Talk Radio. And I'm telling you that it's starting to catch on, because you can see people organically jumping on board as if it was their idea, but using the very same phraseology that you and Max have been putting out for 5 years. So I'm trying to get people to get on board with trying to grow our use of hashtags as a means of assault and holding these people accountable.
Yes, yes. Very, very potent tool in terms of educating the masses and pushing issues. A lot of people try to devalue those tools, but I wouldn't use them if they weren't effective. So let's move on to another story. Now, this story comes to you from Conway. It's about slavery. Now, this is the kind of slavery that's been outlawed. This ain't the legal slavery that old Sheriff Prater was talking about. No, this is the kind that's already illegal, as we tell those people in New York who want to try to hijack the name abolitionist movement or new abolitionist. Yeah, trying to hijack the name New Abolitionist Radio. Again, this is a New York-based organization, and it fights against the slavery that's already illegal. But don't say nothing about the 13th Amendment and the legalized slavery that's affecting millions of people. Who knows how many have suffered from slavery since 1865? Hell, we could be looking at 1 billion victims since just 1865. Doesn't mean they had to spend their entire life, but if any time they was in slavery simply because of their labor or their presence generates profits, and I don't care if you pass laws, little petty laws, unjust laws to duly convict someone. No, that's slavery. But out of Conway, this story right here, man, this is the kind that make you just want to beat somebody. And I'm serious. Just make you want to do violence to them. But you had this black man with mental disabilities who was enslaved by a white restaurant manager who beat him with belts, would take metal tongs that had been in a vat, a hot, scalding hot grease. Again, this is a fast food restaurant, and then stick it to the man's neck and was making me mad about this story. Only one person has been arrested, although the entire restaurant staff witnessed the abuse for years. This man was not being held for 3 months, and somebody, you know, called the authorities. It wasn't 6 months. It wasn't a year. It wasn't 2 years. I'm wondering, because the story's not clear, I'm gathering that he started working for the man as a 16-year-old. John Christopher Smith is the victim. He's 39 years old now. But I was reading the article. It said he started working at that restaurant, J&J Cafeteria in Conway, South Carolina, since he was 16. Since he was 16 years old. So at one point, did they then start forcing him to work there? Forced him to live in a roach-infested apartment just blocks away from the restaurant so he can be at their beck and call. Beaten in front of staff. Customers even heard him abusing Mr. Edwards. And apparently only one person ever thought to pick up the phone in all these years to social service and report this guy. Well, you know, it went to social service first. Why they ain't call the police, I don't know. Maybe they figure the police already know about it. So Bobby Paul Edwards is the 52-year-old terrorist, this vicious man who's enslaved a mentally disabled black man. Held him as a slave for I don't know how many years. And I'm just disgusted with this whole town. And Conway is about a town of about 16,000 people, or city of 16,000 people. I bet you that this was what do they call those? Open secret. This was an open secret. Everybody knew, but nobody did anything about it. They whispered about it, or, you know, while they heard the man getting beat in the back, you know, they just whispered across the table, y'all hear that? Y'all hear, what's going on back there? And then a waitress tell you what's going on, and nobody, including the waitress, picks up the phone to report this assault in progress. Y'all complicit. You can be charged as an accessory to a crime by not reporting a crime. Now, I don't know all the statutes in South Carolina, but I know that you can be charged if you, yeah, because a man was just charged. His wife was abusing their daughter. It was his stepdaughter, but it was her daughter. Beating the girl, she come to school all bruised up. They assault the girl, put her in a coma. She was in a coma. They were about to take her off life support, but they had done charged the mother and the stepdad, but charged the mother with the actual physical abuse. And she killed her. Well, she didn't kill herself. She had her mother shoot her, and then her mother shot herself. This is the grandmother. They killed themselves. Rather, face charges over the physical abuse of this child, physical, mental, emotional, terrorizing this child. So the guy, they said that while he didn't partake in the abuse, he knew it went on for years, and he didn't report it. He didn't do anything, and they charged him. Same thing here. I don't care if you used to work there 2 years ago, you worked there for 6 months and you saw this going on and you didn't report it. You are complicit. This is disgusting. This is when people talk about how do you end racism, white supremacy, although my focus is primarily on ending slavery and not trying to convince people to not practice their religion, because, you know, people, when they get into their religions and what have you, they are not thinking rationally. So rather than trying to come up with a way, and there is a way, Malcolm X talked about it, but I don't have the resources to come up with programming to deprogram these racists. The government can do that NBC, all the media, they could do that, but no, they supporting it. But it starts with the individual. It starts with me. It starts with you. You see something, say something, as they say. Don't you won't see an end to racism? Don't practice racism. Don't be complicit in racism. If you see somebody on your job, a fellow employee, whatever, you know that there's racism going on. You've seen the evidence. You should gather that evidence and you should stand by that victim. That's how you end racism. You got to send a message to the racist that, no, we're not going to laugh and joke and go along with your sick, sadistic engagements of racism on the job or anywhere. Same thing here with slavery, with an element, I'm sure, racism was why this black man was enslaved. So nobody said anything. One person called social service. One person out of what I'm sure are hundreds of people who've been in and out of that restaurant over the years and knew this was going on. It's disgusting, man. It's very disgusting. They tolerated it, thus it continued. Otis, did you have a comment on this story?
I'd like to drive home a point that you're making when you say, yes, it starts with individuals, but we have a history of it, and I posted it last night over and over with that race, slavery by any other name. It's a very poignant documentary because it also pushes the point that we as black people, even in this day and age, are missing. Once it's identified, we're not holding NAACP, ACLU, elected officials accountable, because there are laws, local, state, and federal, that when you're complicit in witnessing this kind of abuse, by not telling, you are guilty of a crime. We are not forcing our elected representatives to go after what the problem is, systemic backing of individuals' hate. An individual alone can't keep perpetuating this kind of thing unless we don't hold people accountable. Meaning, in that city, the ACLU and the NAACP and the Congressional Black Caucus should be going after every government employee that has been through that restaurant that did not uphold their responsibility, because they are complicit, and that's how institutional racism continues. We need to be raised insane, and I've been sending information to them saying, where are you? This is not just a problem of one man harassing a human being. Yeah. It's about a whole city being complicit in it.
And his brother owned the restaurant. His brother owned the restaurant, so you know his brother knew. Who was paying for the apartment?
How many other government employees were patrons to that restaurant, knew about it, and then went on about their job?
Right.
That is the problem. They should be held accountable.
Right, right. All right, thanks for pointing that out, Otis. All right, another thing I'll point out that I did not see in this story is the Department of Justice opening up a case or bringing a case against this man. Not to say it won't happen, but you think they would be all over it. But, of course, we know who runs the Justice Department. And we got a bunch of ghost skins up in there running the Department of Justice, namely Jeff Sessions. So, very disgusting story. It just, again, who would want to live forever on this earth with this type of behavior among masses of people? Man. All right, couple more quick stories before I go to another station identification break and play some more music for you on this Friday. A couple of quick stories. I posted all of this in btrcommunity.com, which is the social media community that was set up for the listeners of Black Talk Radio Network. It's a $24 a year subscription. You can use social media in total anonymity. You don't have to we're not all up in your Kool-Aid like Mark Zuckerberg and you know spying on you and all that kind of stuff and trying to put dossiers together on people. No, we're not doing that. All right. But that's how we continue to fund our media operations. One of the ways. So I wrote, while many were distracted by theories of a second Las Vegas shooter, a white male attempted to bomb an airport in North Carolina last week. I posted the article from The Intercept, which was written by Sean King, who also writes for the New York Daily News. This white male, let me pull up his name. Trump didn't say nothing about it. We didn't get no tweets about it from any other people at Homeland Security. I know none of these people in government. Now, this had been, again, a brown-skinned person possibly wearing a turban or whatever on their head, some religious or cultural cloth. Oh, if this had been a black person, they'd be like, oh, B-I-E-B-C, we just told you. B-I-E extremists is out there. No, this white dude. This the terrorist, the kind of domestic terrorist that Congress just forced Donald Trump to sign a resolution on and to direct federal resources towards disrupting these domestic terrorists and bringing them to justice. And they're not doing it. They're making up a movement called BIE, which isn't a movement at all. All right, so this happened in Asheville. We have some people that listen to the show, some abolitionists in the Asheville area. Met some of them at the Chronic 2017, which was the Carolina Human Rights. Chronic was Carolina Human Rights Conference 2017. We were in Greenville, South Carolina last month. So I met some people from Asheville there, some activists and what have you. So let me get to some of the details. All right. Sean King writes, I bet you never heard about this attack. I keep an eye on these type of incidents closely, and I didn't hear about it. Someone who follows me online who happens to live in Asheville sent me the story this morning, shocked that it hadn't gotten any play at all beyond a few mentions in the local paper and some isolated pickup by a few national outlets. As soon as I clicked on the article, it all made perfect sense. The story didn't go viral and Trump didn't tweet about it because the bomb was not placed by an immigrant or a Muslim or a Mexican. It was placed there by a good old white man, Michael Christopher Estes. Unlike the Las Vegas shooter, Stephen Paddock, whose motive is still hard to discern, Estes wanted to be very clear that his ultimate goal was to accelerate a war on American soil. So, this is one of those people that have been radicalized by Alex Jones, Michael Savage, and other right-wing personalities, websites, and platforms like InfoWars, like Prison Planet. Yeah. This is one of those type. Because Alex Jones, after the Las Vegas shooter incident, notice what I did there, the Las Vegas shooter incident, he was saying that, hey, this is liberals trying to start a civil war, and this was an attack on possible Trump voters and putting all that garbage out there in the universe. And then it gets to the ears of people like Michael Christopher Estes, who's like, well, I can't sit around waiting on them to start the war. I'm going to start the war. So I'm going to take this mason jar and I'm going to put some ammonia nitrate in it. And then, okay, I got to point out to some of these outlets, I don't think they do it in The Intercept. But remember, I was criticizing, yes, they do in The Intercept. Remember, I was criticizing the media for telling us about these bump stocks that can bump a regular semi-automatic rifle from a few rounds per minute to up to 800 rounds per minute. You just went and told everybody what to do. Well, in this Intercept article, y'all are telling everybody the bomb making materials. And I'm not going to read that and put it out over the air, but they put the information out there, told you where he bought it from, all that good stuff. Man, people don't think. Let me see. So this guy was caught on Friday morning. This was last Friday, y'all. It's been a week. It's been a week and y'all didn't hear about it. Friday morning at 12:39 a.m. We were on air, I believe, at that time. No, that's at night. That's early morning. Security footage from the Asheville Regional Airport in North Carolina showed a man walking through the front doors wearing black clothing and a black cap while carrying a bag. Based on review of the video, the individual walked near the entrance to the terminal with out of sight momentarily and was then seen departing the area without the bag. I mean, he had a timer and everything on this thing. Following the TSA's protocols, airport security allowed a bomb dog to sniff the bag for explosive, and the dog signaled to the team the presence of dangerous materials in the bag. The concourse was then shut down. The street leading to the airport was shut down, and Asheville Regional Airport officials found themselves in a dangerous emergency situation. And again, they go ahead and identify. I mean, they basically telling you how to build a bomb, and that's kind of like irresponsible journalism out there. If people want to know these things, you know, they can Google it or go on the internet, the dark webs or whatever, and they can find out. But we shouldn't be telling people, the media, I mean, and I do count myself among them, we shouldn't be telling these people this stuff over the air. House Democrat, moving on. A House Democrat, Representative Al Green, not the singer, but Representative Al Green, had introduced a resolution to impeach Donald Trump. He pulled that back, saying that they were going to give people more time to see what it's about. He said that he would reintroduce it in 2 days, so that would be today. I haven't heard anything else about the reintroduction for that, so go check out that article. Representative Al Green postpones unveiling impeachment measure after Vegas shooting. Dem lawmaker, black American, shouldn't go to the White House until Trump apologize. Okay, that's something else. All right. But that's published on thehill.com. Another article, which is on metro.us, Constitution may allow Trump to be impeached for just for being unstable and abnormal. And they give some history because it has some precedents. Trump could be removed from office simply because he's abnormal, and there's precedent for it, writes Gene Healy of the Cato Institute. Impeachment structure, purpose, and history suggest a remedy broad enough to protect the body politic from federal officers whose lack of stability and competence might cause serious harm, he says. Contrary to the conventional wisdom, there's no constitutional barrier to impeaching a president whose public conduct makes reasonable people worry about his access to nuclear weapons. So go check that out. All right. And this last story I want to share with you, and I'm calling on you to take action. Wells Fargo has been dented, is the headline from Bloomberg today. Wells Fargo dented by surprise charge from the pre-crisis mortgage. It goes on to say, nearly a decade after the financial crisis, Wells Fargo & Co. is getting stung by bad behavior in the housing bubble. How about criminal behavior? Let's call it that. The company took a surprise $1 billion charge in the quarter for previously disclosed regulatory investigations into its pre-crisis mortgage activity, the third largest U.S. lender said Friday in a statement. The expense pushed total costs to a record $14.4 billion. This latest hit adds to Chief Executive Officer Tim Slogan's challenges 13 months after the San Francisco-based bank was rocked by a fake account scandal. Wells Fargo has struggled to attract customers after news broke last year that branch bankers opened thousands of accounts without customer approval to meet aggressive sales targets. More recently, it's come under fire over auto loan clients who were forced to pay for unwanted car insurance, and mortgage customers who were improperly charged fees. Racism is what they're talking about without saying it. Racism against non-white lenders. So this has put Wells Fargo in all of this. Has put Wells Fargo, the second largest investor in the private prison company, the GEO Group, has put them in a very, very weak position. I mean, We just need to go in for the kill shot. Wells Fargo was established as a bank in the 1850s. Wells Fargo has always been a part of financing slavery and human trafficking in this country, going dating all the way back to pre-1865 slavery, all the way to today with their investments in the GEO Group. They're one of the six banks, and I shared that article as well, that's financing the CCA, that's Correction Corporation of America, also known, well, their real name is CoreCivic because they changed it, and GEO Group, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, J.P. Morgan Chase, BNP Paribas, SunTrust, and U.S. Bancorp are the six banks who play large roles in financing the debt of these private prison slavers. So, again, my mom used to be with Wells Fargo a couple of years ago, and when I came across the information, I let her know. And she withdrew. She'd been with that bank for a number of years since they had bought Wachovia, because she was with Wachovia first, going all the way back to the 80s. Then Wachovia got bought out by Wells Fargo, so it became a Wells Fargo branch. When I told my mom about their investment in private prison slavery, she pulled her money out. She's now with a teacher's credit union through my daughter. We've been saying this for years. Pull your money out these banks. Been saying it to the black church community, the black mosque community, any kind of, I don't care if you're a sorority, any kind of black organization or any organization, we ain't gonna put no color qualifier on it, that is against slavery. Y'all should be pulling y'all money from these institutions. And Wells Fargo is in a very weak position now, that all we got to do is come in with the kill shot. So I'm proposing that we start a nationwide campaign, media campaign, to really push boycotting Wells Fargo. See, this would do more damage to the system of slavery in this country than boycotting the NFL. Okay? Or players quitting their jobs and no longer playing in it. No. This would actually have an impact. Okay? Not just for the reasons of racism, although Wells Fargo has practiced racism. And if I'm not mistaken, it could be Bank of America. These are some of the very same corporations that are sponsoring conferences by groups like the NAACP and others, by like National Action Network. They catch these banks doing something wrong, the information comes out, then Al Sharpton will come out and say, hey, we calling for a boycott of this bank because of this, that, or the other. I'll never hear them come out pushing divestment for these banks because of slavery, just because they may have, you know, separated the black jelly beans from the blue jelly beans or the white jelly beans or some, you know. Then they call a boycott. Then what happens? That corporation makes a huge donation to their nonprofit for them to give classes or sponsor a conference on racism. Their way of addressing this is, and again, this is a violation of federal law. It should be some people going to jail for violating the 64 Civil Rights Act. If y'all want to tell us corporations are people too, then we need to put some CEOs behind some BARSs. So they are very weak right now. Talk to your family members. Talk to your ministers and your pastors and your imams and your sorority leaders and frat leaders. Pull your money out these banks that are financing slavery. Again, everything has its place. I am not against marching, although I don't march. I am not against marching. It's simply a tool to raise public awareness. I'm not saying we shouldn't do these other things that raise public awareness and recruit people to the cause. But this sort of boycott, I'm not, you know, we hearing people, oh, let's boycott the Korean store because they don't, they're disrespectful of their black customers. Okay. But what about them banks, though? What about slavery, though? You know, way to solve that. You know, if you don't want to go to the Korean hair store, it's stop putting fake hair in your head and go natural. Go to the hair, you know. So, I mean, we want to talk boycotting? This will have a tremendous impact. We would need them to pass a law to abolish private prisons like the Justice Is Not For Sale Act. We'll let the market forces kill them. And so, again, they are very vulnerable. Wells Fargo, please, please spread the word and tell people to pull their money out. And check out the article in the public interest I posted that says, talks about this report. The report's key findings include six banks play large roles in financing CCAs and GO Group's debts. Wells Fargo, Bank of America, JP Morgan Chase, BNP Paribas, SunTrust, and U.S. Bancorp. At the end of June 2016, CCA had total debts of $1.5 billion, and GO Group had total debts of $1.9 billion. CCA and GO Group have relied on debt financing from banks to expand their control of the criminal justice and immigration enforcement systems by acquiring smaller companies that provide quote-unquote community correction services. See, that's what reforming slavery looks like. Like residential reentry and electronic monitoring. Banks profit from collecting fees and interest on credit, bonds, and loans, as well as from owning or investing their clients' money in shares of CCA and GEO Group. Financing enables both CCA and GEO Group to operate as a real estate investment trust, which reduces their income taxes. Download fact sheets highlighting particular aspects of the report's findings. It has fact sheets on Wells Fargo's role, Bank of America, JP Morgan Chase, how private prison companies use debt to acquire smaller companies. It's published in the publicinterest.org, put this report out that I came across today. Right now, Wells Fargo is on life support. Let's pull the plug by targeting them with a nationwide boycott. All right? Let's go take a knee in front of Wells Fargo and say until they stop practicing slavery that, you know, we're not going to bank here, or telling the people they shouldn't bank there. All right. So let me go ahead and take a station identification break. I know I'm a little over. If I need to go over the 2 hours today, I will. But I just had to bring up these stories and go in more in depth in some of them than I planned to. But the content or the information requires sometimes that we give more time to it. All right, so you're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc., where they practice slavery and human trafficking legally by way of the 13th Amendment. And slavery is not going to end itself. It's going to take you, it's going to take me, it's going to take us to end it. We'll be back on the other side. In 2008, the Black Talk Media Project launched the digital radio platform, Black Talk Radio Network, the first such platform created to serve the black community specifically. Black Talk Radio Network has grown with a variety of radio hosts, digital radio stations, and podcasters. Web analytics say Black Talk Radio, the platform, has an online reach that ranks it among the top independent black media platforms in the world. All of this is possible because of financial contributions to the nonprofit Black Talk Media Project. If you love the work we do and the voices and perspectives we bring to you every day, make a donation today to ensure that Black Talk Radio is here in the future. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Scotty Reed here on this broadcast from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. So this last 30 minutes, we should be able to cover these two pages in 30 minutes because one of them is a probability chart. So they even sent these slave catchers a chart to assess the likelihood, I guess, of somebody attacking them. I don't know. We'll look at this in more detail. So we're going to look at this again, FBI assessment called the BIE report, Black Identity Extremism, and we're going to take a look at page, what page is this? All right, page 7, I believe we were discussing yesterday, where it was talking about analysis of alternatives. So let's go back there, because I'm not so sure that we covered that on page 7 yesterday. All right, so let me pull this up. This is on page 7, analysis of alternatives. The FBI considered the alternative hypothesis that retaliatory violence against law enforcement is not ideologically motivated, but rather a result that some individuals may simply harbor animosity toward police and exploit racial tensions as an excuse to commit acts of violence. The FBI, however, assesses this alternative is very unlikely in the cases analyzed in this assessment because, again, they only analyzed a few cases. Just a few cases, man. And you want to act like it's a movement. The FBI, however, assesses this alternative is very unlikely, they say. Okay, so it says that because strictly criminal subjects typically commit spontaneous defensive acts of violence against police rather than proactive targeting and use idiosyncratic reasons unrelated to ideology such as financial gain, personal disputes to justify their actions. So this is bull because one of the cases which we already discussed in this report, Micah X, a former U.S. Army veteran, was not a criminal, had not been involved in any kind of criminal activity, and he did leave a video behind, and he specifically said, I'm not linked to any other groups, don't blame anybody else for this, this is all on me, and he told you the reasons why he did what he did, but that's, you know, you don't put that in your report, do you? Do you? No, you didn't. The FBI further judges it is very likely BIEs proactively target police and openly identify and justify their actions with social political agendas commensurate with their perceived injustices against African Americans and in some case their identified affiliations with violent extremist groups. So what do you mean? Abolitionists? Are you talking about the social political agenda to end slavery? What are you talking about? And again, the New Abolitionist Movement is a non-color-coded movement, although New Abolitionist Radio is on Black Talk Radio Network, but our abolitionists come in all sizes, religion, genders, economic, social statuses, and what have you. So what are they talking about? Outlook. The FBI assesses it is very likely that BIE's perceptions of unjust treatment of African Americans and the perceived unchallenged illegitimate actions of law enforcement will inspire premeditated attacks against law enforcement over the next year. Now, I know Christopher Dorner, the former L.A. police officer, former U.S. veteran, who was burnt up alive in a cottage, in a cabin out in the California woods somewhere. They wasn't trying to take him alive. They meant to kill him. That's why they burnt him up alive to send a message. But he stated, again, he left a manifesto and said how this person that was training him kicked this handcuffed person on the ground in the face. He said something about it to their supervisor. They didn't do nothing about it. They brushed it off. Then he started talking about more incidents and then how they flipped on him because he was against police brutality as a police officer and how they ruined his life. And then so he did what he did. Now, that was before 2014. That was before Michael Brown, but I guess they're not mentioning him because he wasn't, they couldn't identify him or tag him as being a person who was into black culture or anything of the sort. But again, their report is so broad, their assessment is so broad, that can include the African Methodist Episcopal Zion Church. I know I said that wrong. There was one I went to as a child in Detroit that we went to. Big, huge institute. They be talking about those sort of black institutions. It's so broad. They could be talking about a black fraternity. It's so broad. They could be talking about a Black History Month club, you know, or a black book club or something. Let me see where did I leave off, because they're pretty much regurgitating the same stuff that they said earlier in the report, using again the word perception, which is they're saying this is all in their mind, all in your mind. It's all in your mind. There's no injustice going on. Never mind the 2006 report that was put out by this agency that white supremacists infiltrated law enforcement, these ghost skins. Never mind all of that. Y'all just perceived that. That report wasn't real. It was a mirage. You just got a perception of this threat that we said was a serious national security threat. So, yeah, that's all in our minds, FBI. All right, the FBI further assesses this very likely additional controversial police shootings of African Americans, and the associated legal proceedings will continue to serve as drivers for violence against law enforcement. The FBI assesses it is likely police officers of minority groups are also targeted by BIEs because they are also representative of a perceived oppressive law enforcement. So you mean that they're not being racist by pointing out that you got black slave catchers, you got black people identified as black sitting on the board of the GO group and CCA? Is that what you mean? That we're not just picking out white people, but we're pointing to a system? Possible indicators for BIEs posing a violent threat to law enforcement include advocating for violence against law enforcement, violent anti-white rhetoric, attempts to acquire illegal weapons or explosives, and affiliations with others in both the BSE and Sovereign Citizen extremist movement. See, if they hadn't been so busy working on this bogus assessment, they might have had time to be infiltrating the domestic white terrorist groups here in North Carolina that one of the individuals trying to start a civil war tried to bomb the Asheville airport. But y'all so busy making up stuff that you ain't got time to address the real. Intelligence requirements. Let me see. Not much to share there. They're blacking out some of the stuff. Let's move to page 8. This will be the last page. Maybe page 9 be the last page. It has the chart on it. Let's take a look at page 8. It says, Appendix A, expressions of likelihood or probability. Phrases such as the FBI judges and the FBI assesses in terms such as likely and probably convey analytical judgments and assessments. In other words, these are just opinions from individuals. Ghost skins, more than likely. The chart approximates how expressions of likelihood and probability correlate with percentages of chance. The FBI only uses likelihood expressions. Furthermore, the FBI does not derive judgments via statistical analysis and will not use expressions of probability to convey uncertainty in external FBI intelligence products. Okay? That's what they say. I'm not sure what this terms of likelihood, almost no chance, very unlikely, unlikely, roughly, even chance, likely, very likely, almost certainly, terms of probability, remote, high, improbable, improbable, improbably. Man, come on, y'all. Y'all killing me with this crap. kind of chart is this? Sound like, again, they're engaged in some kind of pseudoscience to try to determine the likelihood of some black person, random black person, being an extremist. Page 9. Appendix B. Confidence in assessments and judgment based on a body of information. Confidence levels reflect the quality and quantity of the source information reporting judgment. Consequently, the FBI ascribes high, medium, or low levels of confidence to assessments as follows. Okay. They give the definitions of high confidence, medium confidence, and low confidence. Low confidence generally means the information's credibility or plausibility is uncertain. The information is too fragmented or poorly corroborated to make solid analytical inferences, or the reliability of the sources is questionable, like the Ghost Skins who put together this. The absent additional reporting or information sources, analytical judgments should be considered preliminary in nature. Not seeing that there's anything for us to discuss there, really. This is based off eternal workings. Basically, that's actually the end of the report. That's the end of the report. Rest of it is just citations, end notes, and what have you. So page 9 is the last page. So my overall assessment, I think I have made pretty clear this week that this is just a continuation of the demonization of black bodies in this country to criminalize people's human rights, constitutional rights, according to the Bill of Rights, of expression and what have you. But again, in the report, it does point out quite vaguely that some of this stuff might just be them, may be them, or covered by their constitutional rights. Maybe, you don't know. You mean to tell me that the FBI doesn't know what the Constitution says and whether or not policies and practices are constitutional or not? That's pretty scary, in my opinion. That's pretty scary. Yeah, so my assessment is this. We've seen this before during the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s as state-sponsored repression against grassroots civil rights movement, black power movements, forcing them underground through assassinations. Martin Luther King Jr., federal court said the U.S. government participated in the setup of getting King assassinated. We know the FBI knew about the Nation of Islam's internal plot to murder Malcolm X, along with the NYPD, and they let it go down. We know Malcolm told us that they had agents in the Nation of Islam, and that they know exactly at all times what they are doing. So yeah, this is just a repeat of the past. I mean, when something works, if a play keep working, to use sports analogy, if a play keeps working, you keep running that same play until they stop it. If they can't stop it, keep running the play. And this is what we're seeing. Plays from a police state, man. This is a police state. So I really don't have anything further to share on this. We got a few more. We got about 10 minutes left in the broadcast. If anybody has any questions or comments about this report or anything else we shared, please give us a call at 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025, or 704-802-5056. I finally memorized that number, 704-802-5056. Hit star on your keypad, and that'll bring it up. So again, I'm going to keep repeating. I don't expect I think it's a real unrealistic goal to expect 100% unity among any group. It just simply doesn't happen. Never seen it before. But to those groups who are active in attacking the system of slavery, no matter what else you might be calling it, but you know something is wrong. You might call it racial oppression, racial injustice. You might call it those things, racism, white supremacy. But it is time for any groups that are active in that to close ranks and to set aside petty disagreements and differences in ideology. Set those aside. It don't matter what black people call themselves, Moors, 5%ers, whatever group, you know, conscious community. These are just labels. These are just names. And it doesn't matter. The common factor or the common denominator in why they're being targeted is their skin color. Is they identify as African or other than American. And that is what makes them a target, not what they call themselves. And we need to stop arguing about stuff, even debating. I say it's a waste of time to debate these things. Again, you're not going in any court in the United States of America Incorporated and presenting documents that this corporation, from a nation this corporation don't even recognize, and they tell you that in this report, and they say your documents are fraudulent. So it's a waste of time for us to debate and telling people we need to sign up for this card or that card, or we need to use this terminology or language when we encounter slave catchers and what. That ain't saving nobody. Tell me who is saved. Again, my best friend is in prison, been in prison for over 20 something years here in North Carolina, and has become a leader in the prison-based Moorish faction and what have you. And so it doesn't matter what he's calling himself. He's still a victim of slavery. Doesn't matter. That label, those papers, it don't matter. Again, history has shown these people, if you can produce a legitimate treaty and you can prove you're a citizen of Morocco, you know, because Morocco is still around, you know, or Mauritania, whatever you know, attaching that label to, it don't matter. They don't recognize those things. Those people don't recognize you. And some of the things we need to do, we can't be discussing on air, but it's a waste of time to debate those things, man, in my opinion. I don't spend a lot of time on them, man. And we have more important things, like trying to get people behind these boycotts or these banks that's practicing slavery. These private prison companies couldn't exist without these banks. Wachovia is on his knees right now. Let's go ahead and shove the bayonet through his back. Let's put a broadsword through Wells Fargo's back, like John Brown and his sons was doing them slavers in Kansas and Missouri. Metaphorically, let's put this broadsword through the backs of Wells Fargo and put it out its miserable existence by boycotting. Pretty soon they gonna make it. They've tried to introduce stuff to make boycotting illegal in this country. That's why Dr. King went to jail, I think, in Alabama for arranging a boycott. It might have been Mississippi. Could have been Tennessee as well, because they had laws on the books to prevent you from boycott. It's illegal for you to talk about boycotting these businesses, these Jim Crow businesses and what have you. Well, we're not boycotting Wells Fargo because white people rent it and profit from it. We boycotting it because they practicing slavery. I'm sure they got some non-white people high up in, I think Al Sharpton's married to one of them. His wife was what? A Wells Fargo investment banker. Okay? So, we're not going to allow them to paint us as being extreme for simply identifying as black, for simply opposing oppression. We're not going to shun any of these individuals. We will still affiliate with them, have conversations with them, think tank with them, and not be afraid. Because that is another aim of this document, to make you afraid, to make you to be think twice before you tune in to Black Talk Radio or any program or radio station on the platform, is to make you think twice before you make a financial contribution to the nonprofit Black Talk Media Project, is to make you fearful to undermine those who are doing what it is they can with the little resources they have to oppose this human justice. And again, international law says that oppressed people have a right to resist that oppression by any means necessary. Okay? By any means necessary. All right, so I'm going to, since we have no calls, I'm gonna close it out with some more music. Y'all be safe out there over the weekend. I'm not sure if Race Treaty will be on air. I got a text message from Brother Anaje, and I will check that to see if he's going to be on air tonight around 10. No, they come on at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern on Friday when they have a show. Again, these are human rights defenders. Najee just came back from Cuba and networking with our brothers and sisters down there and other human rights defenders and what have you. So he's very busy. That's why they don't do a program every week. So I'll definitely post that if he's going to be on air tonight. I think it's a very worthwhile program to listen to. People strategize on international law, the declarations of human rights, these different human rights bodies and what have you, as they try to forge a way for an oppressed people. All right, so that's Race Treaty, 9 o'clock p.m. Check out some of their podcasts. The information is very useful that you hear on there. I did hear from Dave today via text message. He will be on air. He was in meetings yesterday. So he'll be on air at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern this evening. So make sure you check out Tando Radio Show then. All right, BTR community, join us there. $24 a year for a subscription. It breaks down to $2 a month. Goes towards funding our independent media projects of our own and assisting others. I would love to be able to go around the country more and get these workshops on using digital radio as a means to educate the masses, because they are not getting real information. They're just simply being entertained by comedians on black radio, and it's really not black radio. It's not controlled. It's not owned by us. They just simply pick a few of us, offer us a bunch of money to come on the airways and clown people. And talk, and also give them misinformation. So it's important that we establish media outlets all around this nation, all around this globe, really, on a community-based level, because we want to empower the community first so that that community can be empowered to join with other empowered communities. And, you know, you build a very powerful network that can end slavery once and for all in this country and all its symptoms, like institutional racism and white supremacy, because you can't force an individual to stop practicing the religion of white supremacy either, but you can make it very difficult and costly for them to practice that. But it's going to take all hands on deck to do that. All right, so check us out, btrcommunity.com. All right. Y'all be safe over the weekend. That's when the slave catchers are out in full force, looking to write tickets, looking to hem you up on some charges. Don't do, first of all, don't engage in any activity that intrudes upon the rights of another individual. Okay? Don't be out there drinking and driving. Don't be out there drugging and driving. Not, if you're going to drink, get in your little spot, have a designated driver, take an Uber, whatever you need to take to get home safely, but don't be drinking and driving, putting yourself in the general public in danger. Don't make it easy. Don't give them an excuse to put you in slavery, okay? We always got to engage in responsible behavior, but y'all be safe out there because they set people up. They come with these false positives on drug tests. You know, they engaging in this pseudoscience saying that based on little involuntary movements of your body, I can tell you've been smoking weed. I don't smell no weed. You ain't got no weed on you. So we're going to force you into this situation where we're going to give you the option to draw your blood and let us test your blood or do this, that, and the other. But I have the authority as a slave catcher who has this special certification that I can spot people and what kind of drugs they're on. And, yeah, we got that going on out there, people. So you can do everything right, but the system is designed to make slaves. So I don't want to blame anybody, but at the same time, I just want people to make it harder for them to get caught and put into slavery by not doing the things that we know will put you into slavery. Y'all be safe over the weekend. Peace and blessings to all. Hello, this is Scotty Reed, and thank you for listening to this podcast and sharing it with others. Please consider making a donation to the U.S.-based nonprofit media organization, Black Talk Media Project, in support of its efforts to elevate independent black voices. You can also support the work by joining the network's social media community, BTR Community, for just $24 a year. Black Talk Media Project is leading the way in the production of grassroots black media.